John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're doing a lot of touring of the surface of the planet Earth, commercial space. The reason is that commercial space is not only burgeoning out all over and all countries, but we're looking at private capital seeking a way into commercial space, investing in it. One, not more than one of these companies, to my knowledge, is public already, and that's the least of them. The larger enterprises are on the listings of the future. Bob, a very good evening to you. SpaceX is raising money. To what end? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, they don't end raising money. In the last 2 months, it appears, SpaceX raised another $1.16 billion in private investment capital just in the last 2 months. That was on top of almost a billion they raised at the start of the year. And that was also on top of about $2 billion they raised last August. And that was on top of another $2 billion they raised back in 19. They have now raised about approximately $6 billion in private funds, private capital, and that's all for the finance, the building of both that Starlink satellite constellation that's going to provide internet service to the world and is already starting to do that, as well as the building of SpaceX's Starship Super Heavy rocket, a Saturn V class heavy lift rocket that would be completely reusable and would cost pennies compared to any other rocket ever. And, you know, we've talked about that a lot, about their various flight attempts and test flights and explosions down in Boca Chica, Texas. So they've raised $6 billion. What that does is it does indicate the incredible growing faith of big money investors in SpaceX. They basically bought into Elon Musk's dreams about going to Mars. And they've done so because he's not only proved that his dreams deliver, he gets it done, but he also makes money at it. And so they're coming in droves to give him money. They have not gone public. This is private investment capital because it gives the company, keeps the company free and less regulated to do what it's doing. And so that's big news, John. And that's only the first of now. We're going to go through a whole bunch of stories.
Right. Let's go to Blue Origin. This is Bezos's private rocket company, and it is in the process of building engines and building boosters. What is New Shepard?
All right. Well, New Shepard was Blue Origin's, or is Blue Origin's, attempt to build a suborbital capsule that would be reusable, that would be flying tourists on short suborbital flights. And they started testing this thing aggressively in 2016. Then it slowed down, and there were very few tests from 17 on till today. They were originally supposed to fly it with commercial passengers in 2017. It's now 5 years behind schedule, and they don't expect to fly any passengers, commercial passengers, until next year. But this week they did do the second successful unmanned test flight of this New Shepard capsule, the one they're using now. It's the 15th total flight. They had previous versions of the capsule. This is their upgraded final draft version. This flight, they tested the boarding and disembarking procedures with real people, but then they took the people off and flighted it only with dummies on this one short flight. It was a success. I continue to be a little disenchanted with the slow pace and increased overcaution, it seems to me, about this company. They're so slow about getting this done that, you know, they're not going to get their first commercial tourist flight up ahead of SpaceX's first orbital tourist flight coming in September. And that means the suborbital tourism business is in a bind, because rich people are the only ones who can afford to do this. And if you're rich, you have the money, you're going to have a choice between spending a lot more money but getting several days in orbit versus spending money, less money, but still a lot of money, to do a short five-minute hop. And I think that's not a cost-benefit that's in the favor of Blue Origin here. Their pace has been too slow. But either way, they've done this, another suborbital flight, and they're getting very close to doing their first manned suborbital flight, John.
Bob, this is a frequently asked question by amateurs. Why don't we see a lot of cool crashes from Bezos's company, the way we do from Musk's? That's become part of the routine to see a fiery crash.
Well, that's a good question. I think with Bezos's company, you know, they started developing New Shepard almost 20 years ago, almost the same time Virgin Galactic started to develop Spaceship Two. And they spent a lot of years doing this in Texas with no publicity in a very remote area. So they might have crashed a lot of stuff and we've never seen it. Once they started to go public, they already had a pretty reliable product, I think. And so they were protecting themselves from what they thought would be bad publicity. Give you an example with the BE-4 engine, they were publicizing its tests, and then when the tests stopped, there was silence, and I pointed out, hey, that indicates there's a problem and they're not telling us, and it turned out that was exactly right. And so this is a company that doesn't put, it keeps its dirty laundry hidden.
All right. It might be that I've just gotten accustomed to the test that ends in a boom. Now let's go to Boeing. This is a big space company that is now doing is building a Starliner. This is a manned capsule, and it's building it in the big space fashion, big space pace. Boeing is also a troubled company, Bob. It has many divisions, but it's a troubled company overall.
Yes, yes. And so this is the competitor, direct competitor with SpaceX's Dragon capsules. Both companies have contracts with NASA to provide ferrying to and from ISS. And Boeing has been delayed and has had problems with Starliner. They did an unmanned demo test about a little over a year ago, and it had software problems and had to be prematurely returned to Earth. Because they might have lost the craft because of the software issues. And they have to do another unmanned demo test before they can put people on it. And this second demo test has been delayed repeatedly. They have been aiming to fly it in April now, or May, I should say, early May. And now it appears they're not going to be doing it in May. Part of their problem is scheduling. They have to find a period of time when a docking port is available on the American half of ISS. And if there's a cargo and Dragon capsules there, there's no port. So they got to find a time between when there's no cargo vessel basically in place. And there was an opening in May. They were aiming for that. They're not going to do it now, it appears. It appears they're now going to aim for the July-August opening port availability. That delay almost certainly means that the manned flight that would follow is now going to slip into 22, which is significantly behind their original hopeful schedule. It's unfortunate, but I hope they succeed, and you want them to do this right. It is a spacecraft with people on board, John.
The nature of the stock market is that it goes up and down. Right now, the report is Virgin Galactic, to my knowledge, the only publicly traded company of commercial space scale, has doubled in price since its original IPO, which makes it more puzzling why Richard Branson, the man identified with boasting about this company for the last decade, is selling more and more of his holdings, Bob. He's now only 20% of the company, which means, as you say in your post, he's lost control.
Oh, yeah. He has, in fact, controlled this company now for almost from the day, very shortly after it went public, when he started to sell off stock, actually, in May of 20. But I think Branson is getting out when the getting is good. I think he knows this company is in bad shape in the future. It's not going to be able to compete with Blue Origin on the suborbital market, and they're not going to fly any people commercially until 22 also. They've delayed it again. And this is, you know, decades of grandiose promises from Branson that none have come true. So now he's sold off, and yes, he sold off the stock at twice the value it was first set at when the IPO occurred, but I gotta tell you, that's half the value it had just a few months ago. It's been dropping. And so I think he decided he better get out now because if he doesn't sell it now, it's not going to be worth as much later. And I don't see it going up in value. I really don't. This company has mostly been sizzle and not steak. They have a space, they have now, two spacecraft, Spaceship Twos, two of them, that they can fly, one of which has done manned flights to low suborbital space. But they have not yet been they're not yet ready to do commercial flights, and their pace is slow once again. So he's getting out.
You know, Bob, I'm not going to linger on Branson. What is Phantom Space?
Phantom Space is an interesting Phoenix company in a sense. You might remember Vector Space. This was one of the small sat rocket companies that was really in the forefront, looked like for a long time it had a lot of investment capital. It was going to be the second small sat rocket company to launch. Its CEO at the time was a guy named Jim Cantrell, which we actually talked to on your show. And I interviewed him. And he said he was an enthusiastic guy and very open and, you know, really wanted to do it. Well, about a year and a half ago, Vector lost its main investor, and he basically was parted ways with Vector, Jim Cantrell. And Vector basically went bankrupt and is now restructuring itself to come back. It's going to try to come back. Well, Cantrell now has formed a new startup rocket company called Phantom Space, also based in Tucson here in Arizona. And it's also trying to do small sat rockets to put up CubeSats and NanoSats. And they have they're going to build a rocket they call Daytona. This harks back to Cantrell's car racing history. And it's going to have engines made by a Denver-based company instead of making the engines themselves. Vector's problem was that the engines that the company built for itself were underpowered, and it couldn't get the rocket in orbit, and that's why they failed, essentially. And so it seems like Cantrell has decided in Phantom Space he's not going to try to build the engines. He'll get an engine company to do it for him. So anyway, this is the story. I kind of like Cantrell. I think he's the right kind of guy, my impression of him. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But they have raised now $5 million in seed capital, which means Phantom Space at least has the cash to get started now.
Sierra Nevada, how are they doing, Bob?
Sierra Nevada is another one of these private companies. They're all private companies now. We are all in competition with each other. Sierra Nevada is not a rocket company, though. Sierra Nevada is kind of like Boeing's and SpaceX's Starliner and Dragon capsules, respectively. It's making its Dream Chaser mini shuttle for cargo. It's a cargo vessel they call Tenacity. It's hopefully going to launch next year. Well, they have a whole bit of space operations. They're planning to do their own space station as well. Well, their CEO, a woman by the name of Erin Osman, announced this week that they're going to be separating out their space divisions and forming a standalone company called Sierra Space. It'll remain a subsidy of Sierra Nevada, but it's going to be they're pulling everything out separately. And I think there's two reasons for that. One, the space division has greater risks. If Dream Chaser fails, I think the whole company, that whole space division is in trouble. But if it succeeds, there's a lot of potential there. And considering the investment market is agog to give money to space companies right now, separating out their space division makes it easier maybe for them to get investment.
Right, Bob, we can see now from our early 21st century, we can see Marriott's and Hilton's in space. We can see it. And
it's coming. Yeah. But they won't be called Marriott's and Hilton's. They'll be called Axioms and Sierra Nevada's because it's the space companies that are going to build them. They might tie in with the ground.
Yeah, the chains always move in, Bob. The chains move
in. Yeah, but yeah. Either way, it's happening. Right now, it's happening. By the end of this decade, we could have, and I'll get into this more in the next segment, John, about space stations. We could have anywhere from 3 to 6 stations in orbit. We'll get to that.
And we'll need air traffic control. We need regulators. And of course, we need suppliers. We absolutely must have suppliers because if you don't have the right Evian water, Bob, how can you be in a space station of that quality? Right. Exactly. Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.